Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping homeowners trade out old windows for modern, energy-efficient windows with curb appeal. Estimates at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. For nearly 50 years, Missouri's 1st Congressional District has been a beacon of political strength for St. Louis's Black community. African Americans have constituted either a majority or plurality of the 1st District's population, all but guaranteeing that a Black resident of St. Louis or St. Louis County is likely to represent the region in Congress. But the future of the 1st District is murky, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in a case known as Louisiana versus Calais. 6 out of 9 judges ruled the state's map was unconstitutional, effectively weakening Voting Rights Act protections of legislative districts where racial minorities make up the majority of the population. Because lawmakers could not adopt a new map in time for the 2026 elections, Missouri did not join states like Louisiana, Alabama, and Tennessee in redrawing congressional lines ahead of the midterms. But that does not give much comfort to defenders of the 1st District, including the person who represents it, Democratic Congressman Wesley Bell of St. Louis County.
When we look at the folks who fought and died for the Voting Rights Act, which benefits everyone, let me be clear on that. I think that it is terrible that we're seeing a redistricting war which is essentially benefiting a few politicians but is hurting and silencing so many voices of folks who want to have their right to have their voice expressed in their vote.
The possibility that Missouri could be on the precipice of another mid-decade congressional redistricting saga is jarring for a number of reasons. The GOP-controlled legislature isn't even a year removed from a contentious special session where lawmakers dismantled the Kansas City-based 5th District. That move is still tied up in legal challenges around a referendum trying to overturn the plan. But more notably, some Missouri Republicans have turned against a district they not only defended for decades, but also helped create. And it's threatening to tear apart an unusual alliance between Black St. Louis Democrats and Missouri Republicans. The deal for both sides was straightforward. By creating the 1st District, Black St. Louisans were all but guaranteed to send an African American to Congress. Republicans, especially over time, became favored to win in nearby suburban districts since the heavily Democratic African American population wasn't spread out to those seats. As former St. Louis Alderman Mike Jones explained to me in 2021, Black Democrats trusted Republicans because the most strident opponents of the 1st District were white Democrats who felt the arrangement hurt the party.
If you're Black in America doing politics, Republicans have tendency to be existential enemies. And white Democrats are totally unreliable. So you got one group that you can't stand, and another group that you can't trust.
In recent months, this alliance has come under unprecedented strain. The 2025 special session marked the first time in recent memory where not a single Black Democrat voted for a congressional map. For context, St. Louis lawmakers routinely crossed the aisle to vote for new lines in 2022 and 2011. After the Louisiana versus Calais decision, Republicans like Secretary of State Denny Hoskins called for lawmakers to redraw the 1st District to be winnable for the GOP.
With the new U.S. Supreme Court decision that said you can't have racist gerrymandering districts, then obviously, the governor and the legislature could either go into a special session sometime this fall, or that could be a priority for them next session as far as to redistrict those districts again to get rid of the racial gerrymandering.
Some of this newfound animosity toward the first district's construction has to do with raw political opportunity. Missouri Republicans see a chance to turn a previously unwinnable congressional seat into a district where they can prevail. Some of it also has to do with President Donald Trump, who pushed for states to eliminate majority-minority districts in an attempt to prevent Republicans from losing the U.S. House this fall. Others, including Hoskins and Missouri U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt, have contended as of late that majority-minority districts are inherently racist. Schmidt made that argument during a recent Senate hearing.
We're heading into an election cycle. Every election held under an unconstitutional map compounds the injury. Every illegal district that remains in place distorts the House of Representatives and denies American districts drawn under the Constitution rather than racial arithmetic. The left will say this guts the Voting Rights Act. It does not. It saves the Voting Rights Act from becoming what the Constitution forbids, a command to discriminate.
Black political figures completely reject the idea that majority-minority seats like the first district are racist or racially discriminatory. If anything, they contend the seat helps give African Americans a better opportunity to wield political power, something that is especially important in a St. Louis region that's grappled for generations with racism, housing segregation, economic inequality, and educational disparity. And notably, not all Missouri Republicans are eager to embark on another redistricting journey. In fact, one of the people who is openly questioning whether transforming the first district into a more Republican seat is a good idea is Eddie Grime, the Kansas City-based attorney who represented the successful plaintiffs in the Louisiana versus Calais case.
There's a practical point, which is maybe trying to make that more Republican will just endanger the three neighboring districts, and it just may not make sense.
What Grime is alluding to here is how any effort to convert the first district into a seat that Republicans can win would require placing portions of St. Louis and St. Louis County into four or five largely rural congressional districts. Many of those seats may appear to be strongly Republican, but that's based on election results where the GOP is dominant in rural counties, something that may not be sustained as Trump fades from the political scene. State Representative Steve Butts, a Democrat from St. Louis, says that with Trump's approval ratings in a downward spiral, Missouri Republicans would be foolish to do his bidding, as they did last year when the president pressured the GOP to dismantle the 5th District.
We do enough fighting about the maps and gerrymandering once every 10 years to say that this could conceivably happen every 2 or every 4 years. I hope that no one has the stomach for that. I mean, Republicans, independents, and Democrats, that's not good for anyone.
Another consideration is how the 2026 election cycle unfolds. If, for instance, Democrats retake the U.S. House by a substantial margin, there could be less pressure for Missouri Republicans to listen to a politically weakened president who will be barred from running again in less than 2 years. Others, like State Representative Carla May of St. Louis, say that if Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver of Kansas City prevails in his bid for re-election in the 5th District, it may send a message to Republicans to back off another redistricting gambit.
And I'm hoping that they elect Reverend Cleaver to send a loud message that we're not going to tolerate this type of leadership. And I think this is poor leadership when you do something of that nature. It's all about greed. And it doesn't do anything to help Missourians at all.
But State Senator Brian Williams says black political leaders like himself should not get complacent. The University City Democrat noted that Cleaver developed deep relationships with powerful Republicans, and the GOP-controlled legislature still sought to oust him when Trump made the demand. St. Louisans, Williams says, need to be prepared for a similar attack against the first district in the coming months.
I don't put anything past this administration to influence the legislatures throughout the country. And I think this summer, we need to be just as engaged, encouraging folks to register to vote, and most importantly, talk about the importance of protecting voting rights as well as representation in our city and beyond.
Thank you. The Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air is produced by Jason Rosenbaum, Alex Hoyer, Emily Woodbury, Danny Wisentowski, Maya Norfleet, and Elaine Cha. The politics editor is Fred Ehrlich.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.